Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So we started Monday's show with a conversation about the weekend. The NFL weekend, of course. Tuesday show was the Texans. Wednesday, about the Rockets. You know, they got a win, thankfully, against the Bulls. Today, nothing really to direct the conversation, at least to start. So I'll let you guys know right now. If you decide you want to call in about what's going on at Real Madrid, today I got time for it. Or Man U, whatever it is, today's the day. Maybe you want to commiserate with me that Nigeria lost in the AFCON semifinal on penalties. We can do that too. Whatever it might be, open forum. That's a lot of soccer directed stuff. Maybe I'm soccer matters. But either way, open forum, whatever you want to talk about. Maybe Texas and beating Vanderbilt. Look at that. Look at the horns. Not dead. Not dead as a basketball program. Sean shrugs his shoulders.
I mean, not dead. I'll give you not dead.
Yeah. On the respirator
they
for this year.
They're 11-6.
But you beat Vanderbilt.
I saw a lot of people say throw around the word resume. I'm like, oh, resume for what exactly?
But, I don't know. Hosting an NIT game? Who knows?
NIT champs 2019.
I'm saying it happens sometimes. But they did beat Vanderbilt, so you know what time we're on today. It could be anything. But we will get to this to start until you guys change the direction of the show. The Texans and their injury report came out, of course, as expected. Nico Collins did not practice. Somehow Christian Gonzalez did. They suffered concussions one day apart, less than 24 hours, actually, because it was a Sunday night game where Christian Gonzalez had to leave the game. Nico Collins suffered his the next night. Nico doesn't practice. Christian Gonzalez does. Christian Gonzalez, the star corner for the Patriots. He did it in a limited way, but he's expected to play. And Adam Schefter went on WEEI in Boston and told them that I think he was just like basing it off of the timeline. I don't know what information he actually gleaned, but he's telling people, at least the people in Boston, that Nico's not going to play. He doesn't expect him to play, mostly because with the protocol, it's a short window to try to get him cleared. So I wouldn't expect Nico Collins to play on Sunday. Another receiver that, well, at least was a Texan was Stephon Diggs. He was asked about his time in Houston, of course, because of well, they got a game on Sunday, but C.J. Stroud was also asked about Stephon Diggs. Now, we're going to play this, and I'm going to respond, and Sean will too, after the clip. C.J. very effusive in his praise of Stephon Diggs, but something caught me, and I simply hope, well, let's get to it, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, Steph is one of the best teammates I've ever had in my career, in my life. Like, he's been amazing to my life, you know, not just on the field but off as well. I think he's, you know, super, you know, teammate oriented. He wants to be around the guys. He wants to, you know, do stuff for the guys. He wants to be, you know, one of the captains in the room. And I think I don't know if he's a captain or not. I'm sure he is, but you know, he's one of the best teammates I've ever had. So he's brought that swag there, you know, and he got the guys rolling around him. But you know, will always be a brother of mine. Always be a friend. And I'm just, you know, excited to see his career, you know, go where it's gone, and you know, for him to get paid like he did is dope to see. So, you know, I think, you know, he has a lot of great ball ahead of him. But no, yeah, so it's always be a brother of mine.
Not a captain for the Patriots. I did not know beforehand, but I looked it up as he said it. Not a captain. He was going through some things at the time. And that brings me to this. This is a strictly football-related friendship, right? Or is this or with CJ? Or is it do as I say, not as I do? When they talk about off the field stuff,
it's definitely not strictly football because he says off the field.
Then it then we have to hope it's do as I say, right? Not as I do. Considering what Stephon Diggs is going through currently,
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
The news reports would suggest otherwise.
Would nobody want me to do this, is it?
No. Your teammates in Minnesota? No. I got to hope that whatever conversation Stephon Diggs and CJ are having, it's Stephon Diggs telling CJ, hey, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm currently making mistakes or alleged mistakes. Don't do what I do. Because if I got to run down what Stephon Diggs is up to right now, I don't think that sounder is going to make anyone feel better about whatever influence he might have. What did he say again?
Amazing to my life, you know, not just on the field, but
off
as
no.
well.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This is worse than when people were wondering whether KPJ would have a bad influence on Jalen Green. Remember that? Hey, we don't want those two together because KPJ seems like he's going to be a bad influence.
Jalen Green, what do you think of Kevin Porter Jr.?
Amazing to my life, you know, not just on the field but off as well.
Oh man, look, when you're teammates, I get it. You play football, and he's one of your guys, and you develop a bond. But let's be honest, aren't we a little happy he was only here a year, considering what he's on, the time he's on right now?
It would be tough in the TMZ headlines for Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Like, yeah,
that would be bad.
I feel like it would tarnish.
It feels much better. That is Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Yeah. Even in the offseason before he had played a game. But he had already signed to Patriots before some stuff came out. So it wasn't like, I guess you could say former Texan, which is fine. But the headline was Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Not impending free agent former Texan receiver.
Yeah, no. Some of the behavior, I'll just come out and say, not Texans worthy.
Certainly not what we
historically, below the bar.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs 10 years ago would not have been signed by the Texans if this offseason had happened when he was approaching free agency.
But Bob McNair.
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
That might be true in some ways, but there are a lot of people on the other side saying no. Look, fine. Your third down receiver, the guy you focused on for the time when he was healthy, cool. But I'm going to need that to be strictly do as I say, not as I do, when it comes to how he's an influence on his life.
Hey, CJ, so whenever you have three different baby mamas you have to holiday.
You want
to
do that? Fine. That's not a crime. People can have their morality about that. But there's been some things where he's facing time, right? Like the morality of the athlete who decides, or any, doesn't have to be an athlete, the man who decides he wants to procreate a lot. Shout out Nick Cannon. And of course, Stephon Diggs would have the means. He can get into, well, how much time can he spend with each kid? That's a different conversation. But he spent time in court just a couple weeks ago. That's all I'm saying. I don't want my quarterback.
Stephon, what do I do with my...
Nope. No questions like that. Whatever you're about to ask, no. Hey, Stephon, when it's cover three and it's a fire zone, where do I go? If he's got an answer for that, okay. Cool.
Not like, hey, my chef that lives in my house got a little upset at me. How do you think I de-escalate the situation, Stephon Diggs?
Oh, you mean when you're being accused of strangulation and battery?
Yeah.
How do I de-escalate? Don't get accused of strangulation and battery. Okay. That's how you de-escalate.
Okay.
I don't know what's real and what's not. We know times come where the alleged incident isn't true. Of course, he's a very wealthy man. Who knows what this comes to? I want it to be a football thing with those two. Great guy or not, Stephon Diggs. There's evidence piling up to say, not that great.
Well, he knows, CJ.
No. Nope.
Let him just have white cocaine.
Don't start with that.
Come in different colors,
Don't
too.
Start with, well, you know, CJ, unless it's, well, you know, CJ, when you're playing into the boundary. That's all. I need well, you know, and then a football thing to come next. Man, I heard that. I was like, what?
He went out of his way to be like, not just on the field.
Man.
As a man.
Look, I guess you can compartmentalize, and maybe when Stephon Diggs is talking about CJ as he continues his path to not just being a football player, but his growth as a man, maybe he has words of wisdom. But just ignore me, ignore my own words of wisdom to do what I want. That's all. That's what Stephon Diggs is on. And now we got to deal with him on Sunday in Foxborough. Jeez. what a shock. It wasn't shocking, because that you hear football players do that all the time, where a guy, at least in the public eye, isn't looked at as a bastion of what you want a young person to be, and they'll just big him up. They'll hype him up. So it happens all the time. I just did not know that the less than a year that Stephon Diggs was here had that big of an impact.
Six games he played.
Well, that's football, but you know, he was around the team for longer than that. I didn't know that was such a big thing for CJ Stroud.
Yeah. The like, what? It was like April to October.
I guess.
Was a very important.
Wow. All right.
Not just on the field, Dell.
I don't like the other part. The on the field stuff I would love. At least he's a vet. He's played in a lot of big games. He understands the NFL and what it means to, well, he doesn't win the big games as often as, you know, Josh Allen would have liked, but he's played in a lot of those games. That's cool.
Ask Case Keenum if I won the big game.
Yes, what a misplay by that Saints safety. Was it Marcus Williams?
I think so.
Yeah.
Was one of them. That's, one of those guys.
Yeah, you know what? Whatever. Influence CJ from Foxborough.
No, don't influence him. Don't influence him at all.
At least it's not. At least they don't have. They can't meet up in places.
They can't hang out.
Yeah, he can't go. He can't. Stephon Diggs can't take CJ to a spot during the season.
Oh, man.
That's all. Jeez.
Hey, CJ, I know this one place. It's great. You'll love it. I love it.
Yeah. Of all the Patriot receivers, what's. Maybe Butte is a. No, wasn't he involved in that gambling thing?
Yeah. Yeah. He had a. I mean, he just had like a FanDuel account.
Yeah.
Like, under his own name.
In college when he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
He didn't do a great job hiding it. I remember that story.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Matt Collins, the guy who walks around barefoot.
I would prefer that. Yes, or Pop Douglas. Can Pop Douglas be an influence? I don't know what time he's on off the field, but I feel like I got a better shot if I just picked the Patriots wide receiver core blind, because I don't know much about those guys outside of Stephon Diggs. I would say pick any of those guys. What's Austin Hooper up to? Isn't he on that roster? Or is it Hunter Henry? Whichever one it is, allow that guy to influence you.
DeMario Douglas, Patriots wide receiver from 3 days ago, quote, humbly trust God's plan.
We got a connection right there. Talk to Pop Douglas. All right, we'll go to break. Jeez. We'll get into some actual football stuff when we come back, because D'Amico Ryans talked about CJ and what the team has done, you know, when CJ has struggled to uplift him. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. We'll hear from a non-Texan who ripped apart offensive linemen in a very funny way. Cam Jordan, the Saint legend. He has some thoughts on offensive linemen. Just one clue: he doesn't think any of them are athletic. When he hears the word athletic lineman, he laughs. So we'll hear from him on that. So we're just getting started here. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We got some NFL news to get to. A NBA, let's just say, starter. I think that's the right level to describe him as. Has asked for a trade. In fact, demanded a trade. You could have all seen this coming from the summer, coming out of Golden State. So we got a lot of stuff to get to. Sean and I just getting started. We'll be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
we talked yesterday about the Giants being the one team who could hire Harbaugh immediately because they had gone through their necessary steps, interviewing outside candidates that were minorities, of course, fulfilling the Rooney Rule stuff. Well, apparently everything went so well that Harbaugh told the Titans, yeah, I know we're scheduled to meet at my home to talk about a potential coming together. Nah, I'm not interested. Whatever happened in the Giants facility, it's good enough for Harbaugh. So the reporting was early this morning and last night that they were close to finalizing a deal. All that continues to be the case. No official word, I imagine. Just the Giants will. I wonder who breaks it, since everyone knows this is coming. Do the Giants tweet it from one of their accounts, and Harbaugh's our guy, or does Schefter get a little, hey, it's now final? But either way, John Harbaugh to the Giants, better than John Harbaugh to the Titans. There's no guarantee that it would work out there. Of course, Pete Carroll, established coach, winning coach, it was a disaster for the Raiders. But you'd rather have the Titans picking someone who I would rather have the uncertainty for the Titans than the knowing that you have a guy who at least knows how to win. So we'll see. Of course, DeMeco had never coached at that level before, and things have gone great for the Texans. We'll hear from Dan Orlovsky on some of that in a little bit. He was on ESPN talking about the Texans rebuild, but let's hear from DeMeco Ryans himself. He don't have to deal with Harbaugh in the division, but he does have a game against a guy who used to coach for the Titans, and Mike Vrabel. But after CJ's performance, which now is being retconned into a good one by some people, look at the throws he made. That continues to be a thing today. But I think the player himself knew he didn't play well. And here's DeMeco Ryans on the team and how they surrounded CJ to uplift him after Monday night.
It's definitely the culture that we built. It's built on, like, it's not about one person. Like, and it's about the team, and it's about everybody truly caring for each other. And that's the relationships that we build in the offseason, the depth of our relationships that we continue to expound upon throughout training camp. You hope those relationships help you in times of adversity. Like when we have a bad play. Like, it's not a bad game, it's a bad play. Understand, it's just a bad play. There are many more plays to be played in the game, and we just got to handle it that way. You can't let one bad play become another bad play. And so having teammates to support each other through the bad is, I love that, because that's what a true team sports is all about. Like, you can't do it by yourself. You can't win by yourself. We need the help of others. Same for all of us in life. Like, we don't go through life alone. We go through life by the support of others. So, and that's what our team is about, man. I love it.
DeMeco very eloquently talking about, well, culture. That is what people say when they mean culture. Of course, culture is a word that gets thrown around. And is your culture bad if you're losing, but all those things remain the same? People would say from the outside, the culture is bad. Winning always is the salve to anything in sports, because all we actually care about is if you win games, and Texans have done a lot of that. I guess the word I was looking for was balm to people questioning your culture. Go win games, and everyone thinks you got a great culture. And I would say, from what we can tell from the outside, that team is together. The DBs always are hyping each other up. They're always together. You see a team that did not break when they were 0-3. That's an easy thing to happen. You're 0-3. You had high expectations. Will Anderson talked in the offseason about putting the bull in the ring, which simply means getting yourself a Super Bowl ring and have that Texans logo on it. And so those were the expectations, and they were not meeting them. Sean and I talked quite a bit about what they had to do to overcome history going 0-3. All the numbers were stacked against them. It did not matter. You lose your quarterback for several games. Did not matter. They kept winning. And now what are they on? A 10-game winning streak going into New England, despite not having Nico Collins. A very winnable game. That's a game I don't feel as strongly about as I did the Steeler game, where it would be one of their more disappointing losses, not being the Steelers. And they were trying me a little bit. It was 7-6 going into the fourth quarter. It's interesting to not remember that unless you try hard to think about it, because the game ended 30-6. It was 7-6 in the fourth quarter. All it would take was, and the way CJ was playing at the time, one more drop snap or strip sack, and all of a sudden the Steelers are in position to kick a field goal to go. They weren't scoring a touchdown, but kick a field goal to go up 9-7. Who knows what happens the rest of the fourth quarter? But that's a disaster scenario that didn't take place, and they win that game 30-6. So I don't feel as strongly about their chances to win on Sunday. I do think they have a real shot because they have, I would say, one of the most feared defenses in maybe the last 5 years as far as narratives, because the Broncos sack the quarterback far better than the Texans do. Points per game, the Seahawks are better than the Texans, partly because of pretty much all because of what happened the last week of the year, where the Seahawks only gave up three to the 49ers, and the Texans gave up what they gave up to the Colts. Was it 30?
Something like that.
So I think it might have been 38-30 the final, something like that. I don't remember exactly. Whatever. That was the difference between the Texans leading the league in yards given up and also points. So the Seattle has that points per game. They also have the DVOA thing. And yet, no one talks about those two defenses the way people talk about the Texans. The Texans and the way they play, I don't know, tickle something in everyone's brain.
I was going to say, it's a little bit of yeah, the advanced stats, yada, yada, yada.
Look what these guys
when you turn on the games, you're
they hit really hard, and they can't be blocked. Yeah, no matter what.
This is just a completely different thing. And just, like, personnel-wise, like, it just kind of makes sense in everyone's brains that it's like they have two awesome edge rushers, they have two awesome corners, they have a good safety, they have a nickel that is an insane person.
Yeah.
I think it's just like – and Aziz Al-Shaair is also an insane person. Yeah. It's like very, like – yeah, if you're to make a cast a movie and this team has an awesome defense, this is what you would do. Just an insane middle linebacker, two edge rushers that you're terrified of that are built like gods.
The hard hitting safety.
Yeah. A hard hitting safety.
And your lockdown corners. And every time one of them makes a play, Stingley doesn't do it so much, but every time all these insane people you're talking about make a play, they're banging their heads as hard as they can with their hands. It's all fits. Like, I think we've talked about it, but Mike McDonald gets the genius stuff, and that's why Seattle is great. And of course, I mean, Sertan's a great corner, maybe the best corner in football. Riley Moss, when he's not getting called for pass interference, is good too. But it don't feel the same way. Yeah. And that's why the Texans going in New England doesn't scare me. Of course, historically, and the Texans are bucking trends this entire run. Historically, going into New England for Houston is a blowout. Yeah. No one expects that this time around. Different personnel, different franchises altogether at this point, as far as how they're all run.
I was going to say historically, it also meant you're Tom playing
Brady,
Tom Brady,
Bill Belichick. Now you have a former Patriot who has turned that thing around really quickly.
Yeah.
Very similar to what DeMeco did. Former Texan who was – well, DeMeco is a much better DC than Mike Vrabel, but Mike Vrabel had the experience of being a head coach with the Titans. Their stories aren't that different. Hey, let's hire the guy, not native son, but, you know, bring him back into the fold, a guy we had a lot of success with, or at least was very successful in ways. DeMeco never reached the level of Vrabel did as a winner on the field, but two guys we know played at a high level at their positions on defense. To bring him back to – I guess save the franchise when it comes to the Texans. And Vrabel gave the Patriots, after a year of Mayo, some stability. And look where they are, playing each other for a chance at the AFC title.
There is a little bit, because I agree with you that it's like, it's kind of a coin flippy kind of a game to me, where it's just like, there's a lot of, it really is going to come down to like, can Drake May connect on deep shots? Will he have time? Will he have time? And then can he connect on deep balls? That's kind of like the, all right, that's the one thing, the one, you know, little, the way you blow up the Death Star is just deep shot.
Keep your quarterback upright and let him throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, that's the way. And it's not even really like beating the guy one-on-one. It's like running some sort of that beater to beat the coverage.
Cause the coverage to be blown or something like that. Yeah.
So it's like that's what you need to do. And it's like, it's not as easy as just run a go route against Kamari Lassiter. We'll throw it over him. Like, it's very much, no, you have to do, like, two different things to then do this.
Scheme it up is what we're saying. Yeah.
And then you also just have a team in New England that's, like, not tested, really, at all. Like, not just being a young team, but just this young team isn't especially tested. It's a couple Bills games. And then last week is really the, like, resume on the Patriots that isn't, you know, beating the top 10 of the draft.
Sure. So the Texans will provide more their tackles, at least, even though we certainly had questions about them, will be a bigger challenge to the Patriots in their pass rush than what they saw last week against the Chargers. So what we expect, another defensive game, and we'll see what defense causes a critical mistake, because despite all of CJ's issues, the mistakes weren't critical enough because of what the defense was able to do to back him up. But the defense, that strip sack fumble broke the dam. The return for a touchdown broke the dam, and then they ran away with it. I don't see that name, so we'll find out the name. Wants to talk some Astros. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to follow up? 713-780-3776. So we'll talk some Astros, courtesy of this caller, when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
This is the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
Sean, do you remember the last time the Texans played a snow game?
Was it like 2016 in Green Bay? 2016 range?
Maybe. I know. It might be.
And like where there's actual
snow on the ground, sticking to the ground. Not like a flurry, and the ground is still green.
The Bears game was supposed to be a snow game, and it snowed all day in Chicago, and then you watch the game.
I'm looking at it right now. 2016 Texans-Packers snow game.
Yeah.
I just typed in Texans snow game, and that's the one game that's popped up. Brock Osweiler was in that game.
Hell yeah. You know where that team's season ended? In New England?
It did, and I'm asking that question because we are getting closer to a snow game on Sunday. It's going to snow. It looks like it's going to snow Saturday night, some of it Sunday morning, and the models are suggesting that snow may not be stopping into game time. So that even adds to the thought that, you know, field goals 10-9, that might be the type of score we're looking at. The Texans were just fine. And relatively, it wasn't that cold for this time of the year. It was about 30-something degrees in Pittsburgh. We may be taking it to another level on Sunday, so we'll see how they respond there. Texans, Patriots, real chance that we see snow on the ground, and it's snowing during the game.
We're all white, Texans. Blend in with the snow.
Is that good for CJ?
No, but it's good for the defense.
Okay, but what about the offense? That doesn't matter, right? We're not expecting much from them anyway.
Six is the best way to score in this game.
apparently. So just be on the lookout. We may be dealing with the Texans' first snow playoff game. Right? The Chiefs game didn't get there.
No. Not,
it was cold.
Last year's, no.
Or even the one where they're up 24 to nothing. It was cold, but it didn't get to snow,
I don't remember it snowing, but.
Yeah. So. Well, something unique may be in store for us on Sunday. Let's talk to Eric. He wants to talk some Astros. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I heard Kyle Tucker think about joining the Yankees or maybe the Astros, and maybe you can trade Christian Walker to the Mets, you know, free up some money. Also, the Longhorns offense is going to look pretty good next year with the Cam Coleman transferring from Auburn to UT. They got a Malik Brown as a running back and Hollywood Smothers. And you think the Texans will wear their varsity Leatherman to New England if it's that cold? I end up and listen.
I don't know that those jackets are great for warmth, at least if snow's in the forecast, because they wore those to a Monday night game and the weather was mild. I don't think the jackets will be in play. The Longhorns have accrued or collected plenty of skill position talent this offseason in the portal. The problem for them last year wasn't really skill. It was the trenches. I know they're in on Jordan Seaton, the Colorado offensive tackle. They call him a five-star plus. which all that means is all the recruiting sites recruited him, or excuse me, rated him as a five-star. So they're in on that. I think I would point to offensive line help as the next step for a potential title run. I don't know how you feel about this, Sean, but because Danny Cannell is one of the those voices when it comes to college football, with Dante Moore coming back for Oregon, he has Texas, Oregon in the national title game. So whatever that makes you feel like, that's out there, I bet.
I hate that so much.
Texas paying up for skills talent. We'll see if they can get that big-time offensive lineman.
They did get an offensive lineman from A&M yesterday.
Is he a good player?
I have no idea.
Okay. So
Jonte Newman.
Did he play for A&M?
No, he was a true freshman.
Okay, so maybe we'll have to wait on him. Also, I did not hear that Kyle Tucker is going to be Yankee. I have seen, and we didn't get to it yesterday, that the Mets are offering him a short-term deal with an AAV of $50 million. The Blue Jays offered him a longer-term deal, but not at that price tag as far as per year. So does he want to join the Mets for maybe a year and get paid $50 million? Or does he want more long-term stability with the Blue Jays? So that's out there. I have not heard about Kyle Tucker rejoining the Astros. In fact, that's where I'm going to end me addressing what Eric said, because he got me the last time on something. I'm not doing that again. I don't remember anything else he said. Did you mentally note anything else?
No.
Okay.
I forgot what the last thing was, but
probably not that important. It is Eric. Yeah, I can't remember it. Oh, well. Eric, I was going to tell you, hey, call the intern and let him know, but it's not that important. I'm not going to address it. All right. Thank you for the call, Eric. Appreciate it. If you want to follow that up, 713-780-3776. So let's get to Cam Jordan, since we were talking about the offensive line. Cam Jordan, Saint legend, probably a Hall of Famer, I would imagine. He was on with Draymond Green, and the discussion got to offensive linemen. And we have questioned the Texans' offensive line, but they played well against the Steelers. We need another one of those performances, particularly running the football against the Patriots. But no matter what they do, even if it leads to a Super Bowl, Cam Jordan's not going to respect them or any other offensive lineman that much. Here's Cam Jordan on O-lineman.
A guy who ain't seen his toes in 10 years, you're telling me I can't beat him off the edge? Stop. There's the offensive linemen that they swear are athletic, and they are
athletic.
You're not. No, you're not.
Is Trent Williams athletic?
No, he's hella strong, though, and he makes hella highlights off of getting to the second level.
But he's not athletic.
He's a dog.
Tristan Wirfs is athletic.
He's fat as hell. Stop. Shout out to Tristan Wirfs for being a hell of a
athlete. Athletic, though.
The only one that you could say was athletic was probably Teron Armstead. The man ran a 4.640. Windmill dunk, standing.
Yeah.
That's athletic. When you can go across different sports and be athletic, no.
Did you always think that they were some of the best athletes at that size to be that nimble?
Hey, that offensive lineman has really good feet compared to who? The other fat ones. Because at no one point could you see them backpedaling, crossover, and be able to... No. Maybe Penei Sewell. Another one that's on the cusp of being an athlete. But compared to who? Not the tight end. Not the D end. The nose tackle?
When you have 132 sacks, you can say that.
And I've been saying that when I had zero sacks. Look, I said, ain't no way I can't get sacked off of him.
An offensive lineman has not been destroyed like this in the history of the position.
Cam Jordan on offensive lineman. I mean, for the common man watching a 330-pound man move like some offensive linemen do, okay, I'm going to say they're athletic, but I don't have the athletic ability that a guy who's accrued 132 sacks has. So I'm gonna go with Cam. If he doesn't think offensive linemen are athletic, but he's doing it in comparison to some of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, he's saying like they're not like, you know, fast is really what he's saying.
Pretty much. If you can't run fast, then maybe you're not that athletic.
Because the one that he gave athlete status to was Teron Armstead.
Former teammate.
And Teron immediately
Armstead.
Cited his 4.6.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can't run, you're not athletic, according to Cam Jordan. Okay. It'd be like that sometimes.
Tristan Worth jumped out of a pool.
fat ass, pretty much what he called him.
But he jumped out of him.
You heard him.
I know.
He's fat, is what he said.
My favorite part about this was watching the clip and how much joy Draymond Green got from all of this. Like, he really didn't say much in the clip, and it's because he was just, like, smiling and laughing, yeah, like, the entire time.
Yeah.
He just loved the negativity.
Yes. He loved someone else bringing it to the podcast.
Normally what I have to do.
Yeah, when I got to talk about, well, at one point, Dylan Brooks. Yeah. Well, he did very similar to what he did to Dylan Brooks. Now, Dylan Brooks has certainly bounced back. But, yeah, Cam Jordan, not a lot of respect for offensive linemen. I understand it. He's a defensive end. And I wouldn't want to give them any respect either, considering I make my money beating them around the edge. Yeah.
I will say that they're, like, defensive ends are athletic.
Yes. Would Laremy Tunsil classify? He was considered athletic. Still is.
It goes into, like, what do you classify as athleticism? Like, is being strong
lifting weights and getting strong?
Yeah.
Laremy Tunsil, I got to look for his 40 time. Maybe Cam Jordan ain't aware.
He might. He probably ran one, right?
Let's see. No, he opted out of running. He didn't want to be considered slow, I guess.
I was like that. He's like on the cusp of like guys that were so highly touted
that he didn't have to.
They didn't have to run.
Yeah, and if not for the Bong Mass video, he would have been probably a top five pick. Instead, he fell to the Dolphins, then eventually got traded here.
That one thing.
Yeah. Remember that day?
I do. I distinctly remember
nuts.
That day.
And people were trying, we got to find the source of the video. We swear this is a year old or whatever. And then we found out it was like, was it his stepfather?
It was like his stepdad
or
who wanted to be his agent, but he signed with a real agency. And so
he used,
as revenge.
He waited for draft day or draft night.
It was like something like that.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil.
How's that not been made into a very crappy 8-episode Ryan Murphy TV show?
Got to talk to Ryan Murphy about that one.
If I knew Ryan Murphy personally, I would only tell him stories like this and just
see what he would come up with.
Yeah, just make it an 8-episode thing.
If he wanted to dive into the realm of sports?
Yeah, with Drewski starring as Larry Tunsil.
Well, but how are you going to put Kim Kardashian in this one?
She can be an agent or something.
Sure. Or the wife of the GM or something. Maybe. Of who? what GM
Howie
has
Roseman.
Kim Kardashian as? Howie Roseman's wife, Kim Kardashian?
Right? That was the 16 draft, so
yes.
they had the number 2 pick Carson Wentz.
Let me find out the actual draft.
It was either 16 or 17.
Right, 2016.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want to say it was the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz draft.
2016 draft class. It was the Goff, Wentz, and then Joey Bosa went third.
pretty good top three. And
Zeke
and then
was
Laremy
good.
Tunsil.
Well, Zeke was good. Ramsey, Stanley, Zeke, can't
oh
stay
my
healthy.
God.
Buckner, Conklin.
You know what? I see why he dropped from the cast mask.
Yeah.
They're all good. Conklin's the only one that I'm like, I would take.
Well, there's an Eli
addict.
There's
Larry
a
Tunsil.
Leonard Floyd, Eli Apple in there, too, and Vernon Hargraves
the
third.
Is.
Yeah,
there
a couple is. Corners that aren't great. And Leonard Floyd's been around a long time. Credit to him. Sheldon Rankins was the guy drafted right ahead of Laremy Tunsil.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Touchdowns.
Yeah. Winning playoff games for the Texans. Yeah. What has Laremy Tunsil done? Yeah, he was there for a couple, too.
Yeah, didn't score, though. Didn't score a touchdown.
That's true.
Now, stats.
Now he's playing for the Commanders.
Yeah, some fat, unathletic guy.
According to
Cam Jordan.
Yeah, not me, Laremy. Not Sean either. We don't think that way.
He is huge, though, if you've ever seen him in real life.
Laremy Tunsil in person?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll go to a break with that. Thank you to Cam Jordan and Eric for their contributions to the segment. We'll come back with more. Love you to join us. 713-780-3776. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud himself. We'll do that in the second hour. He talks about what winning on Sunday would mean. And also Reach Shepard. At least Fred Van Vliet gave his thoughts on Reach Shepard. I wonder what he thinks of Jordan Davidson getting more minutes. I know what the fans think. We'll talk some Rockets at some point as well. Also, we actually have some news on a Texan, and it's not great. He's fine, but Jalen Reed was targeted in a robbery. We'll talk about that too. So we're getting close to the end of hour one. Jump in and then we'll get to hour two as well. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
So a tweet just came across my timeline that said, the worst person you know is planning a trip to Japan right now. And I was like, some tweets just hit because Lance is planning a trip to Japan right now. I was like, you know what? Sometimes Twitter is there for a reason. It's not for him. It's for his wife. She's going to run in the Tokyo Marathon, I think is what's going to happen. Yeah, Twitter. Sometimes you're good for something. All right, let's get to... We got a call, so let's get to that. Let's get to Joe. He wants to talk some Rockets. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling. I'm one question. I'm a big fan of Ime, but I want to ask a question. Do you all think is he the right coach to get the Rockets over the top? And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, the standard is OKC. And I happened to be at the game the other night, and as an ex-coach myself, I'm wondering we were in second place last year, and now you're in seventh, and we bring in Kevin Durant. And there's some, you know, coaching things that I've noticed that I think we can do better. The other day he mentioned how the team is soft, not playing hard. Well, to me, that has a lot to do with the coaching. So, you know, I'll stop and listen, but, you know, there's players like Jabari I'm watching. He sells for jump shots. I also watched, I remember back in the day he was coaching in Boston, Jason Tatum. He used to sell a lot for jump shots. And they started making him go to the basket. So I think something could be improved with the coaching that could help some of these players, you know, player involvement. I think a lot more players need to be played. You know, they're in the pros for a reason. And you look at San Antonio Spurs, you look at OKC, they run at least 10 to 12 players. And I think the Rockets, sometimes you lose confidence when you're not playing guys that are sitting on the bench a lot. So I'm going to sit and listen, and you tell me what you all think. Thank you.
This has been now a topic of conversation for a little bit now. People are done with the, hey, look, the Rockets are a great story. They won 50 games last year. Look at the turnaround. We'll actually play a clip from Dan Orlovsky regarding the Texans rebuild. I think people are done positioning the Rockets in that conversation about the rebuild. When you trade for Kevin Durant, things change about what you can accomplish. Is he the right coach for that? I mean, we are just a couple years removed from him taking a team to the finals. They did not beat the Warriors. I heard you mention Jason Tatum and allowing him to settle for jump shots. That's a team who went to the finals. A team who couldn't get over the hump. I won't explicitly blame that on like Brad Stevens, but that was a team who had not been to the finals and had been knocking on the door. And in Ime's first year, they get to the finals. So is he the right coach for the Rockets? All I can say, because how do I know that at the moment? I don't know that at the moment. At least I don't have a definitive answer on that. I know he has done it before. Can he do it with the Rockets is what's most important to us. Are the Rockets fully formed? That would be my question. Do we believe that just because they have Kevin Durant and he's surrounded by all these 23-year-olds or younger, should this team make the finals this year? When, and you mentioned OKC is the standard. They didn't have a lot of the traditional, hey, we got to lose in the playoffs, we got to learn our lessons. But they had a little bit of it. And eventually, I say that like it took a long time, but they got over the hump and they were the best team in basketball last year. But even that run where they won it, they could have been knocked out a couple times. Of course, who knows what happens if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't get hurt. And in the Denver series, how does that go if Aaron Gordon doesn't get hurt? So Ime has that Celtics year to tell you, I've done it before. I wouldn't say it can't happen here, but it's hard to put a team together who's that young and say, go make the finals. Go be a real contender.
And then your starting point guard tears his ACL in September.
And one of your other big contributors can't stay healthy in Tari Eason.
Yeah.
So I understand some of the concern because you think this team, and you throw the hype around them coming into the year, and even how they started, you think this team can do something big, and they're floating around the seventh seed, the play-in right now. But we have talked about how quickly that can change. You put four wins together in a row, and you may be the four seed very quickly.
Yeah, like right now, they're the six seed.
Yeah, so.
Just they moved, but
by winning
playing.
A game and not playing. So I wouldn't look at this current, and it's true, it's been disappointing. They'll get a chance to test themselves tonight against the OKC on Amazon Prime. I wouldn't use this recent run of poor performances to really make a determination on what they're going to be. You have 20-something-year-olds trying to figure their way during a season. And, you know, let's give them at least another postseason before we start to really dive deep into whether Ime can be the guy.
Yeah, and like, they're the two seed, like, last month. And so, what, has he been the wrong coach for the last 3 weeks when they had a – do you know, like, the amount of road games they've played – like since the middle of January or since the middle of December, it's like it was something like 12 out of the last like 15 games have been on the road. And now that they will have a 5-game homestand, or they have four more remaining of a 5-game homestand left. So yeah, I think some of that is like you're just catching them at a bad time in the season. And also, about the effort thing, because we actually talked about this on Rocket Power.
Yeah, he mentioned, and Ime said, talked about lack of effort.
They were recorded yesterday. You can hear it Friday at 6. Do we think that the Rockets like are a low-effort team, or do we think that they're not to the standard that Ime Udoka has, and his standard might be...
Maniacal?
Like, he has a quote of, I think it was last year, in a... in a profile. I forgot who wrote it. I want to say it was Kelly Eco, but I forgot. It might have been Tim McMahon. Where he says that, I think it was Amin Thompson, was like, every time someone scores, like I'm guarding a guy who scores, Ime Udoka gets mad at me. He's like, every single time.
I remember that.
He's like, there shouldn't, in Ime Udoka's eyes, no one should ever score when Amin Thompson is on them.
And we
that
see,
seems like a high standard.
We see some of those reactions on the bench, particularly if the Rockets are defending the basket on their end of the bench or end of the court. I don't see them as a low effort team. And once again, we talked about earlier in the week where I don't want to give John credit, but if you're not making shots and you're not winning games, you can see a team and say they're not playing hard because knocking down shots makes it look like everything has gone the way it should.
And they had the worst 5-game 3-point shooting
stretch. Yeah, and then you look at Jabari Smith knock down some shots late, and all of a sudden, hey, the energy's up, they're playing hard, stuff like that. Yeah. And that was in the course of a game where they were struggling with the Bulls, but then they pulled away because they started to knock down some shots late. Yeah. I don't think it's a team who doesn't play hard. I think it's a team who has a coach who has a standard that's so high that any slip, or
no
perceived slip.
Plays hard enough
perceived slip is something he's going to comment on. If you ask their opponents, I don't think people come out of games playing the Rocks thinking loafers. That team doesn't. That team lets us walk to the basket. I don't think that's how they're perceived by anyone. Even if Kevin O'Connor is suggesting that Ime isn't the right guy, can we get more than 50 games into the first season with Kevin Durant before we start to make wide sweeping assumptions about what this team can be? When I imagine 15 games ago, Kevin O'Connor had a different opinion.
And again, over the course of the 15 games, they played like almost all of them on the road.
It's fine. We want them to play better. They have a tough challenge tonight. I think they'll rise to the challenge whether they win the game or not. That's a different story. OKC's really good. But I don't think we're going to look at the team tonight and go, man, they just let OKC walk all over them. It's not their personality. Yeah,
they have a tough stretch. OKC and then a back-to-back with Minnesota. Or not a back-to-back. Like, they play OKC tonight, Minnesota Friday. And then I think Pelicans and then Suns. Or Spurs. Pelicans, toughest game of the
week. Well, let's not forget, they did blow a giant lead to the Pelicans and lose.
Yeah, no, I feel better about the OKC game.
Well, I imagine, although they have lost to the Kings twice, right? I would imagine, and the Mavericks. I would think that the loss to the Pelicans would be a bit motivating. Well, let's see what the Clippers are doing right now.
Yeah. You know what? Clippers lost, resume loss. Good loss. Like, the playoff committee is going to look on that.
There's a quote from Ty Lue when the Clippers were really struggling. He goes, look, as long we can go like 35 and something, it'll be right back in. Everyone's like, shut up, 35 and something. Like they're 11-2 since he said it.
Yeah, I think it was like, yeah, it was like 35 and.
Was it 20, 35 and 20? I forgot what it was, but it was something nuts considering
35
how.
35 and like 15? Like, I forgot. I'm trying to do the math of how many games were left.
Well, it was nuts considering how they were playing.
Yeah.
And they're on pace.
Yeah.
They're well above the pace to reach that record he was talking about. Helps that Kawhi is playing and playing great. All right. Thanks for the call, Joe. In fact, we won't abandon the Rockets completely. We'll come back and hear from Fred Van Vliet talking about one of the Rockets' young players who I would say show some patience to as they try to find their way. He's talking about Reed Sheppard, who was supposed to be the heir apparent, and now Jordan Davidson gets minutes, and sometimes Aaron Holiday starts ahead of him. It's the Ime way. We'll hear from Fred Van Vliet when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.